They are one of the largest recipients of NIH funding. Their scientists played a substantial role in developing more than half the cancer drugs approved by the FDA in the last 5 years. Dana-Farber Cancer Institute has been making one advanced cancer discovery after another for over 75 years. At Dana-Farber Cancer Institute, what we do here changes lives everywhere. Find out more at danafarber.org/everywhere.
No class action against Merck.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. It appears the Vioxx lawsuits will keep coming one by one. Yesterday, a federal judge refused to combine 7,000 of the cases into a single class action. That's a victory for the drug company Merck. It wants to defend each lawsuit that claims the painkiller Vioxx cause heart problems. So far, Merck has won 6 cases and lost 4. Billionaire Kirk Kerkorian's investment company has decided to sell 14 million shares of GM. That drops his stake in the carmaker from 10% to about 7%. Ashley Milne-Tite looks at what might be behind this.
Kirk Kerkorian had been a big proponent of an operational alliance between GM, Nissan, and Renault to help revive the struggling U.S. auto giant. But GM's management nixed the idea this fall. Some analysts say Kerkorian's disgust over that decision triggered the sell-off. But Peter Brown of Automotive News isn't so sure. On Wednesday, Kerkorian's company put in an $825 million offer for a large chunk of casino operator MGM Mirage. With his GM stock sale, Brown says the energetic billionaire is just redeploying some capital.
It's really hard to read Kirk Kerkorian's mind. He's 89 years old. He's doing all of these things. He feels very passionate about these things. So you could see him come back next year and buy some more shares.
But if he does come back for more, Brown says, the same friction will likely remain between his desire to make a fast buck and GM management's steady efforts to turn around the automotive behemoth. I'm Ashley Milne-Tite for Marketplace.
Your typical 10-pound Thanksgiving turkey costs about $20. But some people pay 4 times that amount for a special kind of bird. Tom Bonsi reports.
These are heritage turkeys. They have distinguished bloodlines that supposedly trace back to breeds that were around when the pilgrims showed up. They graze on pasture and are allowed to reproduce naturally. The birds also boast superior taste, texture, and aroma, according to many chefs. Oregon farmer Andy Westland reared about 400 of the birds this year and sold out weeks ago. Next year, he's hoping to raise 2,500.
And we can't keep up. We're not learning how to raise these birds as fast as the demand is rising. And it's a shame.
Heritage turkeys nearly vanished a decade ago. Then, 2 nonprofits started a successful campaign to reacquaint American diners and breeders with the birds. Caution, though, some tasters have been disappointed to find the high-priced turkeys scrawny and stringy. I'm Tom Bonsi for Marketplace.
And now, fresh from the Agriculture Department, let's do those Turkey Day numbers. The agriculture folks say the market tone on an 18 to 16 pound hen and 16 to 24 pound tom was steady. White meat was steady to weak, while rib breasts remained mostly steady. Demand was light to moderate for post-holiday needs. Oh, and the Dow climbed 5 points to 12,326. The Nasdaq put on 11 to 2456. And the S&P 500 added 3 points to 1406. This is Marketplace. Do you know why today is Thanksgiving and not next Thursday? The answer has to do with the history of business. Here's Stacey Vanek Smith.
The Continental Congress made Thanksgiving a national holiday, but the states decided when it would be celebrated. It wasn't until the Civil War that Thanksgiving was nationalized to promote unity. Abraham Lincoln set the date as the last Thursday in November. It stayed that way until the Great Depression. Back then, it was considered indecent to advertise Christmas sales before Thanksgiving. So in 1931, Roosevelt thought he would help merchants by extending the Christmas shopping season. He declared Thanksgiving would be celebrated on the second to last Thursday of November, but 22 states refused to comply. So on November 26, 1941, FDR and Congress split the difference, declaring the fourth Thursday of the month to be Thanksgiving. Sometimes that's the last Thursday of the month, and sometimes it isn't. I'm Stacey Vanek Smith.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Thrivent Financial for Lutherans, committed to providing financial expertise that helps both our members and our communities thrive. Let's thrive. Thrivent.com. And by Mellon Financial Corporation, helping financially successful individuals and families protect and maximize their assets through the practice of wealth management. Mellon.com. Sustainability coverage is supported in part by the Candida Sustainability Fund of the Tides Foundation, furthering values that contribute to a healthy planet.
This is Marketplace. I'm Scott Jagow. Okay, so the family's gathered at the table. Everybody can't wait to sink their teeth into a great big turkey dinner. But what about the baby? What are they going to eat? A jar of processed mush? It doesn't have to be that way. From our entrepreneurship desk, Lisa Napoli reports on two couples who are reinventing baby food.
So here's our first delivery of the evening.
Tim Dalter is something of a modern-day milkman. Two nights a week, he and his delivery team hit the streets of Southern California with their hybrid cars and drop off orders into coolers customers have left on their doorsteps.
Here's somebody, and they ordered 8 jars of food for this week. This customer has a bigger baby, so this is kind of our bigger baby food. So this is actually it's a basil pesto pasta, but we use like a mini-type pasta for the baby, so they don't have to chew too much. This is a quinoa with vegetables in it, and quinoa is a grain. It's got a lot of protein, and it's like a super healthy type thing.
Super healthy type thing is the premise behind the business Tim and his wife Annie started a year ago. It's called Bohemian Baby. All natural, organic, hand-cooked twice a week under Tim's supervision and tested on his daughter. It's $3.50 a jar.
But it is a shift in consciousness because people used to pay 50 cents for a jar.
Now, Teresa Keene would happily have paid for homemade baby food when her 3 kids were young. Now she's making it for total strangers. In the tasting room of Keene's new business, baby Allison is about to try out the peas.
May I put this bib on you? Is it okay if I put the bib on you? Let's see. I like this.
A year ago, Keene and her husband quit their jobs in television to create a line of baby foods called Homemade Baby. Now they have 13 employees, including a chef who studied at the famous culinary school Le Cordon Bleu. Behind the tasting room is a commercial kitchen.
After the food has been prepped, everything's hand-prepped, it goes into this kettle right now. And right now we're cooking pears. It cooks and it forms a bit of a reduction, so you get the intense flavor and sweetness of the pears and a lot of fiber and a lot of nutrients.
Business is growing at a healthy clip. Whole Foods has even picked up the brand in some of its stores. These rival baby food businesses have different strategies, but their goal is the same, to attract parents who want to start their kids off right in an age of junk food and obesity.
You know, we try and say that babies are people too, and so you know they deserve delicious food even if they can't clearly communicate that they want something a little bit different. And hoping that'll set some habits for their lifetime eating, in addition to maybe kind of raising the consciousness of the parents as far as how they may eat, you know, and hopefully kind of shift everybody towards more kind of organic, more fresh type foods.
And perhaps grow a healthy business, too. In Los Angeles, I'm Lisa Napoli for Marketplace.
And I'm Scott Jagow. Thanks for listening in, and happy Thanksgiving.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.